it's a different language, but it's the step is easier.
A bit like French and Spanish.
Exactly. He's learned Spanish. He's learned French having lived in Monaco for many years. And he's got a place in southern Spain now as well. So he's picking up bits of Spanish as he goes along. So, yeah, you know, some people collect stamps. He collects languages.
He's a polyglot.
Not sure if they do collect stamps anymore, given that hardly anybody sends letters. You know what I mean.
You know what, we're back to gramophones in 78.
We are.
I think it might be time for us to take our leave. Perhaps, you know, it's not that far off bedtime, is it, Chris? It's 7 p.m. You know, by 8:30, that'll be it for the oldies.
Have we missed supper, dear? Have we missed supper?
Yes, that was at 5:30.
Oh. Why didn't anyone call us? Anyway, that's my last shift on Radio Roland Garros. So,
well, thank you for everything, Chris. We'll all miss you.
Well,
your listeners will miss you. We'll all miss you.
I might stay around for the team dinner.
Oh, good. That's good. We'll save up all our grammatical errors for then.
Well, I'll collect them. How about that? Like Djokovic collects his languages. Yeah, no, it's been a great pleasure. And all the very best for the last few days. You're in good hands. And we've got now about an hour and 20 minutes before the start of the night session. There is still a little bit of tennis going on, but I think it's not really part of the remit of Radio Roland Garros to do women's invitational doubles. Gabriela Sabatini and Gisela Dulko against Natalie Tozia and Caroline Wozniacki. That's very much for those on Suzanne Longlen who are there. So what we will do is we will recap on what's been happening for the rest of the day. Our producer Stefan has done a highlights package for us, and we will build up to the Alcaraz-Tsitsipas match from 8 o'clock, which is about an hour from now. So if you miss any of today's action, stay with us over the next hour, but don't send any messages because, they won't be answered until people... we get back for the live commentary for the evening session. Thank you, Eleanor. And this is what happened earlier today, starting with the women's matches.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set and match.
Rokova with the first of these set points. She's ready and she serves. Oh, it's a great serve. Flew up straight at Pavlyuchenkova, who couldn't control her backhand return. It lands wide, and Rukova lands the first heavy blow in this quarterfinal. She's taken a first set that, well, it had a lot of twists and turns and ebbs and flows and all those sorts of things, but Rukova has got it done by 7-5. Match point number two for Karolina Rukova. The wind swirling a little bit.
She went for it. She was trying to go to the tee as an ace.
Yeah, she did.
Missed it in the other box.
By a little bit.
Second serve.
Pavlyuchenkova just steps forward a little, sways, and watches as the second serve comes to her forehand. Big return. Push back into play on the forehand side by Rukova, who goes up the line to the backhand of Pavlyuchenkova, who's missed. It's gone wide. And that means that Karolina Rukova goes through to the semi-finals at Roland Garros for the first time in her career. A nice little hug at the net between the two players. But it's Mukova's day.
Karolina Rukova.
Here's Fabrice with Karolina.
Karolina, congratulations. Another great match. Another semi-final in the Grand Slam, but the first one here in Roland Garros.
Thank you very much. I don't know more what to say. It's been incredible 2 weeks, and I'm just glad I'm still in the competition. Thank you.
You played a very solid first set with break and break back and finally won it. How important was this first set?
Very important. I guess so. Yeah. I'm glad that I didn't start it out, and I'm glad that I was able to break her, and then I played with the wind. It was a little bit windy, so I'm very important, and I'm glad it happened that way.
I want to ask you one more question. When you came to Paris last Friday, you have the draw. When you saw in the first round you play Maria Sakkari, you said maybe it's going to be a tough first round. And you start the tournament with a great win against Maria, former semi-finalist. And this match gave you a lot of confidence, I guess.
Yeah, when I saw it was a little bit funny because we played two years in a row. I knew it's going to be very tough. We played on the same court, so it was like a deja vu. But great match. I'm happy with the way I played and how I was getting through the tournament. So it's just a great time here.
Karolina, you are the first semi-finalist qualified now, and next round you will play either Svitolina or Sabalenka. Are you the kind of player who said, I'm going to watch the match on TV, or you don't want to watch?
I don't even know. I don't know what time they play. It depends where I'm going to be. I think I'll for sure watch the match. I don't know if I will watch it live. Let's see who's going to win, and I'm sure it's going to be another great match in 2 days.
Once again, congratulations, and it's always a pleasure to see you on the court.
Merci.
Mesdames et messieurs, Karolina Muchová, première qualifiée pour les demi-finales.
Karolina, congratulations. First Roland Garros semifinal. Just talk about the match today and how you were pleased with your performance.
Thank you very much. I think today I played great from the start of both sets, and that for sure helped. Nastia was playing very, very aggressive, and maybe here and there, I would say, pretty risky. And it was going to the court, then here and there was a few mistakes that helped me. And as well, I started well the sets, and then I finished them well as well. So, I'm pleased about that, and great that I won in two sets.
When you've had your runs to semifinals of Australian Open, quarterfinals of Wimbledon, felt like you got there and kind of were a bit physically gassed in a few of those runs. How are you feeling physically as you head into your first Roland Garros semifinal?
When I compare it to those before, I feel great now. I think that I played last few matches were just two sets. That for sure helped to save some energy. And now I have a day off tomorrow, so I feel pretty good.
Do you feel like you're a different player on this surface this year? The numbers seem to say that you are. You have a 9-2 record and reached your first Roland Garros, second week now, and then all the way to the semifinals. Is there something different happening for you on this surface?
Well, I think year by year, at least I'm trying to be a better player on all the surfaces. And this year, I had a great tournament in Rome before. I had a great preparation. Here I started well, and with matches, I gained some confidence. And of course, now I'm feeling better on clay.
Karolina, you had a pretty crazy draw here starting your tournament against Maria Sakkari. I just wonder if you thought now in retrospect that having such an important match in the first round, such a tough opponent, has actually helped you get into this tournament.
I think overall it helped to beat such a great player, top 10 player. It always helps. It was for sure tough because it was the first round, and first rounds are always tricky, and to play Maria in the first, I think it was a tough draw for both of us. Glad that I was the one who left the court as a winner.
Karolina, just speaking to a lot of commentators and pundits, everybody loves obviously watching you play and the variety and the way that you kind of play your game on the court. It seems a little bit of a throwback, kind of the style of play, serve and volley, all that sort of stuff. Can you talk about the foundations of that game? Like, did you look up to a player and want to play like that? Or was it purely, this is how you like to play? Did a coach teach it to you? Can you just talk about how you came to play this way?
Yeah, thank you. I think it was always a little bit like inside of me. Like, since I'm a kid, I was very, I liked the great game in everything. I was very competitive, and I like different things. Even though if I look back on the videos when I was really young, you would still find me going to the net and playing drop shots. So it was, I would say, always there. Of course, then later, when I was a little older, I was looking up to Roger Federer. I think I'm repeating myself a little bit, but yeah, I liked his aggressive game and coming to the net and slices. So for sure, I took something from that and from other players as well. Yeah, and now we just... I like that game, and then we try to work on it to make it better. And so, so yeah, it works on big stages and against great players. So yeah, I think there is still a lot of space for improvement in that as well.
You will make a big step after this tournament in the ranking. Where do you see yourself in the future? Where is the limit? Do you see yourself as a top 10 player?
I don't really think about these things, like where I see myself. I'm really glad for this run and that I got my ranking a little bit better than it was. I mean, end of the last year, I was, I think, around 200. So this is very nice, and it will for sure help me coming into another tournaments with the seeding and all. But yeah, I mean, sky's the limit, you know. But I'm not really thinking like I can be number one, I can be number five. I just take it step by step, and I'm really glad where I am now, and I'll try to push my limits for sure. And who knows where the limits are.
Carolina, I think earlier in the tournament you were talking about kind of reuniting with your old coach, and that you guys were trying to tap into the creativity of your game and kind of refine that. I'm curious, because players who are like that have so many different options and don't so many different things, there's some of them try to put discipline on that to try and, you know, make sure that you're doing it in a disciplined ways, and others are trying to kind of change their intuition so that they make the right shot, if that makes sense. How do you see that, and how have you and your coach approached that with respect to elevating your game?
Yeah. You know, my coach is we always communicate a lot about the practices, and we make plans together. It's not like he would really tell me to play this or that, so he always leave that on me. For sure, we are trying to get the focus better, and that's what I talk after the last match to take the first options as well. It's even though it's here and there, it's not the best choice. That's why there is always a second and third, and then I pick it, and you know, it's not the best shot. So we are just trying to play this in the practices, just to be focused on the point and go what's the first thought. It's tough to work on this, but discipline for sure helps, to have discipline as well, like everywhere, and then to put it on the court. That I could for sure be better disciplined, but yeah, we're working on it.
Arina Sabalenka is currently serving for a straight sets win against Elena Svitolina, so I just figured I'd ask what your thoughts are about potentially facing her in the semifinals. And I think you guys met a long time ago in 2019. And what are your overall impressions of what she has been able to do this season?
Yeah, what can I say? She's a very, very great player, very aggressive. Tough match ahead. I'll try to do my best to find a way how to make it complicated for her.
Carolina, because you're so calm, I have to ask, does this feel like a big deal? Like making the Roland Garros semifinals? Or is this just, I don't know, is this just one additional step to your tournament? How are you kind of feeling it, approaching it?
Oh, I'm really, really happy with the semifinals. So it's not like I'm just, you know, like whatever. It's a really great result for me, so I appreciate it a lot. Of course, I'm still in the tournament, so I'm trying to, you know, focus on another match, and the tournament starts here. So that's probably why I'm, look calm or. However you would call it, but I'm super, super pleased with the way this tournament is going.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be back at 8 p.m. local time for the night session.
Sabalenka reaches up with the first serve, misses down the tee, takes the ball from left side of the shorts that she's wearing again, just runs the hand through the hair, get rid of all those stray wisps. Second serve, set point, serve up wide, the back out, it's a moon ball, lofted, doesn't find the court, and with the first set point, she got the break with the first break point, she's closed out the set with the first set point. I think she'll find that's a pretty comfortable 38-minute first set, 6-4 in favour of Aryna Sabalenka. Crowd trying to give Svitolina one last push. As for Aryna Sabalenka, it is match point number two. Serve out wide, the backhand cross court and wide, centre of the court goes Sabalenka, not enough on that for the Belarusian, goes cross court and the slice through the centre from Svitolina, the off forehand approach from Sabalenka, it drops over, here comes Sabalenka into the open court. She's booked her place in her first Roland Garros semi-final. She does it in straight sets, she does it in just shy of an hour and 40 minutes.
Alina, micro de sélectivité numéro 2 mondial, les deux fois finalistes ici à Roland-Garros, Alex Correia.
Arina, congratulations, full house, unbelievable conditions, and against Elina, I don't know if it's better because you need to do a lot of things to win the point, or would you prefer that she also push you a little bit more because she's such a tough competitor. Congratulations.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. She's such a tough opponent, moving well, and what she's doing after giving a burst, it's impressive, and big respect to her. But yeah, it was a tough match, and I'm super happy with the win, and atmosphere was amazing. Thank you so much for being here and supporting us. I mean, we all know that you're waiting for Novak, but still, I'll take it like it's for me. Thank you. Thank you.
How do you go with the tactics? Like, you plan it before, but then when you are sitting here, you're changing. It depends on the score. Or you just go for it because you are such a powerful girl, doesn't matter the win or not the win?
I feel like for me, it's better to focus on myself, on the game, on my game. And if I feel like I have to go for my shots, then I will go for it no matter what the score. And yeah, I would say that, I mean, of course we prepare a tactic, but during the match, depend on the score, depend on the game, you can change it a little bit. But for me, most likely, like, I would focus on myself and go for these shots.
And you are now in the semifinals of Roland Garros. You, before, maybe, you didn't have that much patience on yourself, on your game. But now, watching you play here on this court, it seems like you are born on clay almost. You feel like nearly a clay court specialist.
I mean, honestly, when I was a kid, I practiced a lot on the clay, more than on the hard court. I don't know why everyone thought that I'm a hard court specialist. And I feel very comfortable on the clay. And yeah, hopefully I can go as far as I can here at Roland Garros. I really enjoy playing in front of you guys. And I just want to stay here as long as I can and bring my best tennis. Make sure you guys enjoy watching us.
Now, I don't want to keep you long. Last question. But now that you have more experience in these rounds of slams, is it difficult to deal with the day off? Or is it like, oh, I need to wait 40 more hours to play?
No, actually, I like to have a day off, an extra time to switch off, to forget about tennis for a little bit and just enjoy the city. And yeah, I like it. I like it to have a little extra day off for recovery, for switching off. So for me, I like it more like this way.
We wish you a nice recovery.
Thank you.
Good luck for the semifinals. Mesdames et messieurs, Aryna Sabalenka, qualifiée pour la demi-finale de Roland Garros.
Aryna, you're into the semi-finals here at Roland Garros. You must be pleased with your performance today. Just talk us through what you were most happy with.
Yeah, it was a very tough match, and yeah, I'm super happy with the win. Just super happy to be in another semi-final.
Hi, Aryna. At the end of the match, You went over to the net and you waited for Alina to come over, but you knew that she wasn't going to shake your hand. Why did you do that?
I don't know. It just was an instinct, like I always do after all my matches.
Congratulations. You have lots of fans around the world, and they call you the Warrior Princess. So in what ways are you a warrior? In what ways are you a princess? And what will it take for you to become the queen here at Roland Garros?
I think I'm just... I really feel... I'm really thankful for people to call me that way. I just feel like I'm a fighter, and it's not like separation. It's just like I'm a warrior princess, meaning like I'm a great fighter. And I mean, I don't know, to become queen in Roland Garros, I just have to keep focusing on myself, on my game, and try to bring my best tennis every time I'm on the court.
Live on radio.
Radio Roland Garros will be back at 8 p.m. local time for the night session.
Still two set points, 40-15. He stands a little bit wider on the deuced court. Just aborts the ball toss for a second. As the wind ripples across his shirt. Big serve down the tee. Djokovic returns on the backhand, but he pulls it into the tram lines. And after 56 minutes, Karen Khachanov of Russia takes the first set against the two-time champion Novak Djokovic. 6-4.
Khachanov serves. Set points against him. Backhand Khachanov. Djokovic with his two-hander up the line. Chipped by Khachanov. Brings Djokovic into the net. A drop shot. Khachanov will get there. Goes cross-court. Djokovic reaches for the backhand. Puts it away nonchalantly. He knew that set was won. And after 2 hours and 3 minutes, it's one set all.
The three set points he has now for a 2-1 lead.
Djokovic serving down the centre, 400 turn. He serves and volleys. Backhand from Khachanov, an attempted lob. Djokovic smashes it away. You probably heard the sound of that.
Djokovic.
As he is right on top of the net. Throws in the odd serve and volley. And when you're 40 love set point, why not? And Djokovic takes the 2-1 lead. And you have to say it'll be a surprise if he doesn't win this in four. 3 hours, 38 minutes. Novak Djokovic at match point. He serves down the middle. An ace. Just lifts the racket above his head, waves, and hits a loose ball into the top tier of the stand. They like it into the top tier. They know that many of the true tennis fans are up there. Warm embrace at the net. Khachanov gave everything, and for nearly two sets, an upset looked possible. But you always know against Djokovic that he has the power to come back.
Novak, congratulations. The first two sets were so difficult. Then you play an amazing tiebreaker and things change. What did you tell yourself?
Well, it was also due to his quality of tennis. I think he was a better player for most of the two sets. I was struggling on the court, I think, to find my rhythm. I made a lot of unforced errors and kind of came into the match quite slow, quite sluggish, you know. But, played a perfect tiebreak, really. And from that moment onwards, I think I played for a couple of levels higher than I did at the beginning. And, a little bit of a scare towards the end of the fourth set. But, I managed to win 8 points in a row to finish it out. So, it's a big fight. It's something that you expect. Quarterfinals of a Grand Slam, you're not going to have your victories handed over to you. You got to earn them. So, I'm just glad to overcome the big challenge of today.
Nice. And Novak, please answer yes to this question. But your hands are so good. Have they always been this good, or your hands and your feel getting better with age? Please say yes.
Thank you, Mats. But I think I missed quite a couple of really, really easy shots today. Actually, I think it was 15-all and 4-3. Easy put away backhand.
Yep, saw that.
So these things happen, I guess sometimes it works really well, sometimes it doesn't. But, against the players like Karin, that is very aggressive, has big serve, maybe doesn't move as well. So, I tried to expose him, try to, play quite unpredictable for him. A lot of drop shots, change the length and so forth. I'm running down the whole tactics for you now, but it worked in the end. You know, it was a big fight. It always is. I have a lots of respect for Karin. He's a great fighter, great player. I wish him all the best for the rest of the year.
Thank you. Une dernière question à français. Un mot sur l'ambiance sur le court Philippe Chatrier, sur le public.
Yeah. Philippe Chatrier, c'est un stade, un des plus belles stades du monde de tennis. Donc, c'est tous les jours plaisir d'entrer sur cette cour. De faire bien, j'espère chaque fois qu'on je me prépare pour les parties sur cette cour que je peux jouer mon meilleur jour. J'ai vraiment beaucoup de belles sensations sur les cours, aussi le sensation avec beaucoup de comment dire tension. Mais je voudrais remercier à tout le public pour votre présence et votre soutien. Merci beaucoup.
Merci, well done.
Merci,
thank you very much.
Live on radio.
Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros. We'll be back at 8 p.m. local time for the night session.
Radio Roland Garros. Oh!
Game, set, and match.
Serve's a good one. Oh, I thought it was a good one. Late call. Just past Perra's service line. She steps fractionally inside the court now for this second serve, and she's going to return on the backhand to the forehand side of Jabeur, who goes up the line. The forehand angled across court by Perra, who's now slicing on her backhand. Mid-court ball for Jabeur, who's coming in. She's got an overhead. She should put it away. She does! And Jabeur is going ons and ons at Roland Garros 2023. She's through to the quarterfinals here for the first time. It's taken her just over an hour. Far too many errors from Bernarda Perra. And Jabeur is victorious. 6-3, 6-1.
Ons, félicitations à toi. Tout d'abord, bien évidemment, aujourd'hui, tu réalises une performance magnifique. Tu as été impérial sur les retours. Ton adversaire n'a pas marqué une fois son jeu de service. Je crois que c'était un peu plus dur pour toi lorsque tu servais. Est-ce que tu peux nous expliquer tes sensations sur ce court ?
Apparemment, on est les deux fortes à retourner aujourd'hui. En fait, elle me mettait beaucoup de pression sur les services. Je devrais travailler encore plus pour vraiment mettre la balle un peu plus long pour ne pas le laisser attaquer la balle. Mais je suis contente que j'ai pu vraiment gagner mon service au moment où il fallait. Et heureusement que j'ai pu vraiment bien retourner et mettre la pression sur mon service. Donc, j'espère bien retourner le prochain match et le service, c'est sûr.
Drinking from a giant water bottle in between questions.
Ons, en remportant ce match aujourd'hui, tu réalises ta meilleure performance à Roland Garros pour la première fois en quart de finale.
Marion stressing. Strange stat that Ons is finally through to the quarters here.
Tu vois, les drapeaux tunisiens, ce public pour toi qui est là, qui t'applaudit, tu es très populaire ici. Ça doit être un sentiment très particulier.
Yeah, popularity is not in
vraiment
doubt.
Merci à tout le public qui sont venus m'encourager aujourd'hui. C'était un match très très important. J'ai perdu deux fois en quatrième tour, je pense, et j'imagine la troisième est la bonne. Comme j'ai commencé le premier match ici sur le Philippe Chatrier, j'ai perdu deux matchs et la troisième était la bonne. Donc, j'espère pour les finales de Grand Chelem, ça sera la bonne aussi, la troisième. Je vais continuer à jouer. Merci pour le public et j'espère que vous serez présents pour moi pour les quarts de finale.
All the sweeter because of some of the high-profile defeats. Well, the one very high-profile defeat in particular last year, of course, on Chatrier that we referred to on that opening Sunday.
Tu es déjà double finaliste en tournoi du Grand Chelem à Wimbledon et à l'US Open l'année dernière. Tu commences à avoir l'expérience de ces matchs à très haute tension, à très haute pression qui arrivent. Tu vas jouer un quart de finale. Comment tu vas le préparer?
Beaucoup de récupération, je fais beaucoup de la cryo, ça m'aide à récupérer vraiment, et voilà, beaucoup de massages.
So she can have a massage, or just like the Empress in preparation for her quarter-final.
Bon, pour les deux finales dont tu as parlé, peut-être tu me diras comment gagner la finale de Wimbledon. Tu me donneras quelques conseils.
Je crois que tu passes beaucoup de temps avec ma fille, c'est elle qui va te conseiller. Elle sera
elle
beaucoup meilleure
de moi.
Great memories, of course, of that trip to Wimbledon, and something that Marion Bartley knows all about, having won at Wimbledon a few years ago. Lovely chat between the two of them. They're hugging now by the microphone. Bernarda Pera having long since departed the scene.
Pretty good performance today. Just talk us through what you're most happy with out there.
Yeah, I mean, great match. I was, expecting her to, you know, play better, but I know played a great tennis, and thank God I was able to hold my serve at the end. And hopefully the game will be better for the next matches.
Hi, Jens. Congratulations. You reached quarterfinals, at least quarterfinals, in all the Grand Slam. What does that mean to you?
I mean, it was the only Grand Slam missing. I'm very happy with the performance, with the way I was, playing, especially coming back after an injury. I was just taking it one match at a time, trying to make it to the second week. And now I'm going to push more for the next few matches. And, hopefully better than a quarterfinal here. Looking forward for a semifinal.
You've said that you think Paris at night is a very romantic city. So is it a romantic notion for us to think that you could actually win Roland Garros here this year, or does true romance only exist in books?
I mean, it's Paris is always romantic, day or night, and winning here will definitely be an amazing memory for me. And for now, I just want to take it one match at a time. I would have a very difficult quarterfinal, and from that, we will take it, and let's see what's going to happen.
Was there a time when you never would have thought you would have reached the quarters of all four Grand Slams?
To be honest, I never thought about like something was missing or I didn't reach all four of them. But I never really thought about it. And maybe it's a good thing it came, and hopefully we'll set it to all semifinal and then all finals.
You're obviously a positive person in general, but just curious how you've kind of managed the obvious frustrations with physical stuff this year, and remain kind of, I don't know, positive or just with your eye on the goal?
I've learned a lot how to accept things, either good or bad. For me, being injured was part of my path. How the season would have started here this year. And, I worked a lot on my mental health and worked a lot on how, to manage all of this, because I believe there is a lot of injuries are connected to our, emotional part. And I'm trying to manage that. And, the season is still long, so hopefully no more injuries and I can continue in a great path.
Could you just talk a little bit more, go into a little bit more of a reflection on how the mind and the body are connected in our sport and in general?
Well, I've done a little bit of research, and I believe that our body and our mind is connected. And if there is an issue, for example, like when you go and train hard, you have a sore muscle. And for me, the diseases or injuries are the same. Your body is telling you, trying to give you a message, and you have to listen to it. So yeah, for me, for example, if the knee, is hurting, there is a certain, explanation for that. Maybe, I'm trying to take control over things, or not trying, to be open-minded about some stuff. So I always try to look at the explanation of what my mind trying to tell me. And, of course, looking at the physical injury as well. But yeah, I mean, everything is connected. Everything is connected with everything. Either your past, your present right now, and it's probably a long conversation. But yeah, briefly is that.
Radio
Roland Garros.
Game, set and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be back at 8 p.m. local time for the night session.
6-5, match point. She reaches up and she serves. She puts the serve in. The backhand spins into court. The inside out forehand, the stretching Cerebes Tormo. Surely this is it. Inside in goes the Brazilian and she's done it! After nearly 4 hours of action, Beatriz Haddad-Meier wins through in three to reach her first Grand Slam quarterfinal. I don't think she can quite believe what she's done. There is an exhausted embrace between the two at the net. But it is the Brazilian who marches through to the quarterfinals.
Beatriz, congratulations. Fantastic match. 3 hours, 51 minutes is the longest women's match this year. You are in the quarterfinal of Roland Garros and the first Brazilian girl to be in the quarterfinal of any Grand Slam since 1968. Congratulations. Tell us your emotion.
Well, first of all, I would like to thank everybody who came to support and enjoy the match today, especially the Brazilians. Muito obrigada pela força de hoje. I think the emotion were there for both of us. As I said, the last match, when we play big matches against big players in big tournaments, and we played almost 4 hours, so it's not only about tennis, it's a lot of things that comes through our minds, but I was trying to give one more chance for me because I knew that I was missing a few shots that I was trying to find myself, but I'm very happy and proud that I did not give up and I was trying to push until my limit, and I think I deserve it because of that.
You served for the first set and then you were down 7-6, 3-0, 40-15. Was it difficult for you to stay positive and to find a new strategy to come back in the match?
Yeah, I think the key is to try to play every single point. Doesn't matter the score. I was 5-1 down in the last round, so 3-love was not that bad. And I tried to think in the positive way. Try to think that if I'm feeling nervous, my opponent also is feeling. So my coach, he sent me an interview from Djokovic, and Djokovic told about the nerves. And if Djokovic feels the nerves, who is me? So it's normal, and we need to accept, we need to be humble and improve when we have the pressure.
Beatriz, you're born in 1996. There's one Brazilian player we love here in Paris, in Roland Garros. He won here in 98 with him. Or did he try to give you a few tips?
Yeah, Guga is an idol for me. When he won the first time, I was 1 year old. But yeah, for sure, we grew up playing on clay, hearing his name. And he's a very nice guy. He's a very important person for us. I got inspired by him as well, and I had the chance to meet him also when I practiced in the south of Brazil. So yeah, I'm very happy that he supports us as well, and yeah, he is my idol.
Once again, congratulations, Beatriz. Have a good rest, and we wish you the best for your quarterfinal. Mesdames et messieurs, Beatriz Haddad-Meier.
Bia, congratulations, the first Brazilian woman in over 50 years to make a Grand Slam quarterfinal. Just what does it mean to you to get to this level at Roland Garros?
Well, first of all, I'm very happy to be in a quarterfinals. It's a dream. I think since I started to play tennis, me, my family and everybody from my team, I was dreaming and working very hard for this moment. So, yeah, I'm very proud for what I did today. And also the last matches because I had to fight a lot. And yeah, I think I I'll try to enjoy and deserve a little bit during the night and then be ready tomorrow for the next one.
Hi, Bea. Congratulations on the win. You were out there for almost 4 hours today. How difficult was it to not only stay physically fresh, but also mentally present when things are going that long?
Yeah, well, all the matches that I play, I prepare myself for the toughest moments. So I knew that Sarah will bring the ball. She defends very well. So I knew that the ball was coming again and I had to be aggressive. So I was prepared for that. I was trying to be as aggressive as I could to finish the ball, the point to go to the net. But yeah, I think I work very hard my body as well. So I believe in myself when we have tough moments. I had a lot of matches, more than 3 hours in my career also. So yeah, as long as the match goes, I think I'm stronger. So yeah, I think it's one of my qualities and I'm very proud of my physio and my trainer as well.
In England, we have an expression, which is the early bird catches the worm. And I understand that you wake up very early in the morning at 6 a.m. So is that why you have been so successful here? Because you are the early bird that catches the worm?
Yeah, it's crazy because you're talking about early and yeah, this night wasn't easy for me. I slept like 4 or 5 hours and I was a little bit anxious. And also, yeah, sometimes we don't control the things and I was trying to, yeah, being the present wasn't easy to control myself, the emotions. But yeah, I'm happy with the way that I manage. And yeah, I think we deserve it because of that. Thank you.
Can you just talk through the match a little bit in terms of what happened in the first set, kind of letting that lead slip, winning 7 consecutive games from the second set, and then in the third set after those match points kind of came and went in that one game, mm-hmm. what you had to do to reset yourself to make sure that didn't go to a tiebreak?
Yeah. Yeah, first of all, it was big match against big players, big court, and the emotions were there for both of us since the beginning. I think I started in the right way, and then in the 5-2, I think I wasn't too aggressive, and then she started to go with deep and high balls, and yeah, it's part of the game. We need to manage, we need to understand the situation, to be humble and to work harder. So I was trying to push myself to be aggressive, to stepping on the court, and yeah, I think that was the mentality until when she was like 7-6, 3-love advantage. I was looking to the clock and I said, okay, we can play 3 hours. So let's find another way. I remember the 3-1, I did a few serving volleys. So I tried to change a little bit the game. And yeah, I saw the light in the end of the, and that makes me feel stronger. And I said, okay, now I have chances. I'm back 3-2. And the match start there for me.
Bea, when we came into the room, one of my colleagues said that today's match felt more like a marathon than a tennis match. Which do you think would have been harder for you to complete today, the tennis match or a marathon?
Yeah, I think tennis is not a 100 meters race. It's a marathon, especially in my matches. And yeah, I think I worked very hard since I'm very young. And my mentality is to not give up and always give one more chance to ourselves, even if the things are not going the way that we want. So yeah, I think the key today was the discipline and to be calm and to accept that, okay, I was missing. Okay, she's playing better. She changed the game. But we are in Roland Garros playing on Suzanne Lenglet and I will try until the last point. So I think the key was the fight today.
This has to feel particularly sweet given just the journey to get back to this stage. And I think I remember you saying that it was challengers throw a bunch of rackets into a backpack and go and start to build your ranking back up. Can you reflect on those moments when you were kind of beginning to dream to get back to this? Can you give us a sense of what that was like and who that Bea was then versus and how she got to here?
Yeah, it's not too far away ago. It was 2.5-3 years ago. And yeah, I had to come back. I had to fight a lot, playing qualies of 25Ks, going to the challengers, like trying to play qualies from WTAs. And then I was building my game again, trying to be more aggressive. I started to practice with a new coach as well 3 years ago, which made me, have another perspective, another view of tennis as well. So yeah, I think it's, everyone has your own way. I had injuries. I have four surgeries also. So it's not easy to come back, but I think that's why I'm very strong when I play three, four hours. And I'm very proud of myself because of that as well.
Live on radio. Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros will be back at 8 p.m. local time for the night session.
Here is match point for another American, Coco Gauff, and the backhand return is wide. Coco celebrates. She's into the quarterfinals at Roland Garros once again, and she's done it relatively comfortably against Anna Karolina Shmidlova. She has won 7-5, 6-2 in an hour and a half.
Coco, well played. Congratulations. You were up 5-2 first set, and then she came back. How important was that, and what did you do at 5-all that was different?
It's really windy on this court, so it was kind of hard, especially on that side, to hit through the ball. I think we both struggled on that side. 5-2 was 5-all. I just forgot about it, to be honest. Like, you have to forget and start over. The past is in the past. So from 5-all on, I just kind of zoned.
Is the wind so strong that you have to actually prepare in your mind that it's going to be windy? Because we hope for no wind normally.
I haven't played on this court all tournaments, so I didn't expect it to be so windy. And I don't really remember it being like as windy as last year. I've been playing on Susan Longland. And I think the way the kind of the almost roof is covers some of the wind. But I live in Florida, so I can't really use that as an excuse because it's pretty windy where I live.
This is true. Tomorrow, you have a day off. What would you do, something special in terms of tennis and sightseeing?
I think I might have doubles tomorrow, so...
You never take a day off.
No, I don't need any day offs, you know. So I'm going to play doubles tomorrow. And I've been playing card games a lot and eating croissants and trying to stay away from crepes. The other day I was eating breakfast and I had like a chocolate kind of cake thing. And my agent was like, why are you eating chocolate cake for breakfast? And I was like, we're in Paris. Who cares?
Bravo. Bravo. At your age, you can eat anything. And I just heard someone whisper to me, you're learning French. Is that right?
Oh, what do you say? Am I learning French?
Yes.
Yes, I'm trying to learn French. Wow. So I guess the one thing I learned is j'aime jouer à Paris. That's all I'm gonna say right now. Jeremy Chardy has been teaching me French, but I forgot the last phrase he taught me the other day. So I think I get an F for today's test.
That's okay. You're gonna be coming back here and spending a lot of time in Paris. Coco, thank you very much.
Thank
Congratulations.
You. Merci beaucoup. Merci beaucoup.
Allez, fait pour la quart de finale. Coco Gauff.
Coco, back in the quarterfinals again this year. Just talk us through how happy you are with your form and how you played today.
I'm really happy. I mean, today was honestly a difficult match. I mean, as every match is, but the wind was something that I don't know, wasn't really that prepared for it going in. The one side was gusting like really crazy. And usually like I like to play in the wind, to be honest, but it wasn't something I was prepared for. But overall, I'm happy with how I played.
I think you said earlier in the tournament, there's no point revisiting last year's final against Iga, but I'm just wondering if you do end up playing her again, what you've taken from last year and whether you might sort of watch the match back again going into this year's match, and how you think the pair of you have evolved since last year.
I mean, I guess obviously, for a scouting standpoint, yeah, I have to rewatch that match because I haven't played her on, I don't think I've played her on clay since. I played her on other surfaces. I don't know if the surface will matter that much, so I'll rewatch some previous matches to see where, you know, gone wrong. I guess the revisiting part for like the mentality, it's in the past, you know, and in a positive way, not like, oh, I lost in the final, I don't want to think about it. It's more so I don't want to make the final my biggest accomplishment, I guess. I want to keep moving forward and keep reaching further heights.
Just wondering, the Roland Garros crowd is quite like notorious for like being very enthusiastic and sometimes harsh.
Yes, I know.
I'm wondering just what you heard about it before you started playing here and what it's been like, you know, how it's compared to how you've seen it, you know, why you've been here and why you've played in front of it.
Yeah, obviously I played juniors here and I didn't, either no one came really into the final. And they were really enthusiastic in that final. Even like the last couple weeks, like, I don't know, they like to boo sometimes. I actually enjoyed it. I remember my doubles, yesterday I missed like a super easy overhead and I kind of like, I like dropped my racket on the ground and like got mad and then they started like booing slightly. Then they started cheering and I was like, it was one of those moments I started laughing because I was so confused. I was like, are you guys booing because I missed the overhead and then cheering because the other team won the point? I was confused. I honestly like it. I mean, I don't even want to consider it booing because it doesn't sound like booze. It just, I don't know what it sounds like. But I like the crowd here. I like that they're, you know, not afraid to, I don't know. I mean, obviously there's a limit, but they're not afraid to express themselves. And I think this makes that atmosphere a lot fun for me to play in.
I just wanted to ask, you know, sometimes we'll speak to athletes when they don't yet know who they're going to be facing, whatever the sport might be. Mm. In a situation like this where maybe they'll say, oh, I want to face Iga because of what happened last year or because I want to beat the best in order to be the best. But sometimes they'll say, are you kidding? Why would I want to play the best player in the world? Give me anybody else kind of thing. I'm just curious, as you sit here waiting to find out whether it will be against her or not in the quarterfinals, which of those viewpoints do you take?
I mean, honestly, since last year I've been wanting to play her on, especially at this tournament, I figured that it was going to happen because I figured I was going to do well and she was going to do well. Didn't know what side of the draw we were going to be on, obviously. But I'm the type of mentality, if you want to be the best, you have to beat the best. And I think also, like, if you want to improve, you have to play the best. I feel like the way my career has gone so far, if I see a level, and if I'm not quite there at that level, I know I have to improve. And I feel like you don't really know what you have to improve on until you see that level. So I would say out of the two, I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, I'm not going to put the other opponent now, but the way Iga's form is, I probably will play her. I think this, it would be almost cowardly to say that I want to, you know, not face the noise and not face the challenge. But I think that I'm up for it. I've improved a lot since last year and she has too. And I think it would be a great battle for us and for the fans too. I'm sure they would appreciate that matchup as well.
Live on radio.
Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
Two match points. The first on the Cerundolo serve. Cerundolo goes down the center. He's missed it. Runa could decide to attack the second because it'll be a safe serve on match point. It's short, backhand return from Runa, but he stays at the back of the court. Backhand Runa, deep to the backhand of Cerundolo. They're both at the back of the court, but they're playing up the center. Forehand from Runa, backhand Cerundolo. Backhand from Runa. Cerundolo goes into out on his forehand, but Runa is there. Forehand from Cerundolo up the line, but Runa's fairly fat one as well. Backhand Cerundolo cross court. Runa digs this out with his two-hander. And netted by Cerundolo, and Runa is through. He has a beatific smile. And there's a warm handshake and something of an embrace. He's not everybody's favourite, Holger Rune, but he had to dig deep. And he's through to the quarterfinals, where he will face last year's runner-up, Casper Ruud. He's talking now with Alex Skrecher.
Congratulations. I know you love tennis. I know you love to be on this court with full house. But is it possible to practice for moments like this?
It's very hard. I mean, it's a unique feeling to stay on this court in front of incredible crowd. So, I mean, it was so much fun, guys. So thank you so much. Thank you.
And do you have a chance when you are working hard to imagine one day like this, or only when you experience, you know how to deal with the situation, where to serve in a match point, when you serve for the match, maybe you cannot close her out, and the way to recover, how do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I had a heartbreaking loss in Australia, where I had this situation where I could serve for the match and lost, and ended up in a match tie break like this. So actually, I told myself, you know, when we started the match tie break, just to relax and play tennis and enjoy, because, you know, moments like this stay with you forever, no matter how you win or you lose. You just go and enjoy and try to play your best. So I enjoyed every moment.
I have to say, I'm very impressed that you said that you enjoyed this moment, because everybody was here like suffering, sweating, heartbeat like so high, you know. But how difficult it is to play against someone like Fran, that he's got an amazing forehand, so it makes you run from side to side, and also either you need to change down the line or find his backhand, otherwise you are almost dead on the court.
Yeah, it's difficult. He's playing amazing, especially on clay. I think it's a surface that suits his game very well. You know, he has a big forehand, big swing. So when he gets the time, we saw when I was closing out the match, he hit two forehand winners, I think. And, you know, it's just too good. So credit to him. He's a very nice guy. So I wish him all the best. He has a bright future.
And I let you go because you're tired, because they're coming to play, but all the credit for you as well, Holger, because you hang in there, you suffer, you fought hard, and you ended up winning. So you deserve to be in the quarterfinals. Congratulations. Mesdames et messieurs,
thank you so much.
Holger Rune, qualifié pour le quart de finale à Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set, and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be back at 8 p.m. local time for the night session.
But it's still match point, Casper Ruud. Norwegian serves down the tee, forehand return from Jarry. Not perfectly hit, but it's in. And Ruud on the run, on the baseline, chasing down these balls from Jarry. As Jarry moves to the forehand side, it's a good shot from Ruud. And the forehand goes long from Nicolas Jarry, and Casper Ruud is through once again to the quarterfinals of Roland Garros with a 7-6, 7-5, 7-5 victory that took him 3 hours and 20 minutes. It was a hard match, a rough, tough match between two big hitting players who love a clay court. But it's Casper Ruud, the finalist last year, who is through to the last eight.
Huge win, very difficult opponent. When you work hard off season, sometimes they push you so much, sometimes they tell you, come on, you can do it again. I believe after this match you feel like, okay, I understand why they push me. Congratulations, such a great win for you.
Thank you, Alex. Yeah, it was great for me. You know, three very, very tough sets, 3 hours and 20 minutes. So if we played five sets, I don't know how long this would be. But yeah, I think today I can thank my team for pushing me every day in practice, because not every day is as fun as other days. But I do the work and I felt physically fine, physically good. I was ready for more if we had to play for more. So this is a win for not just me, but for my team as well. I think we have done a great work the last couple of years. So I'm happy to be back in the quarterfinals.
Sure. And how difficult is to play against Jarry, that he serves huge, he hits hard with the forehand, with the backhand. How important is this court? Because it's big, so you can go a little bit far back off the return. But yeah, then also the transition to get back close to the baseline.
yes, it's difficult. I mean, his serve is great. He plays very aggressive. So I'm happy that I had enough court to work with today. This court is probably the biggest court on clay that we have. So for me, who likes to return from back, it's good. But it was tough. It's been windy this year. So on this side, you have the wind with you, so the ball stops. And here, you feel all the heaviness from the wind also. So it's a little difficult, but I think I managed to do well. I was down a break in both the second and the third, but was able to kind of think about, okay, let's see if we are on the right side, if I can break, and I was able to stay in, and very happy to neutralize a little bit his serve and win the most important point of the match.